He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday morning, the March 29th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Well, it looks like we're settling into what has been a recent trend here. We've got the NASDAQ down over 106 points. The Dow is up 11 points today. So those tech stocks, they just don't look very good. I know there's a lot of people that are anxious to get back into those tech stocks. I'm just telling you, as a guy who looks at hundreds and hundreds of charts every day, the tech stocks just don't look very good, all right? Anyways, we've got Dow up 6 points, bouncing all around here, 33,000, a level we never saw on Friday we closed at, and today we're hitting a new all-time high at the current time. It's 33,078. And, of course, Dow is made up of more cyclical stocks, more industrial-type stocks, and there's more value types of stocks in the Dow. And that's why you're seeing this big difference between the returns on the NASDAQ and the Dow. Even though NASDAQ had a good day on Friday, the charts just don't look very good underneath. You can listen to me or you can continue to beat a dead horse. NASDAQ down, or S&P down 18. That's right in the middle, down 0.5%, 3956, closing in on 4,000. S&P did hit a new all-time high on Friday. Let's see what else we've got. Crude oil is down 65 cents as they continue to get the Suez Canal unclogged. They finally sent a plumber out there with a plunger, and it looks like that ship is free, ready to get tugboat out of there. Gold down $27 per ounce. Silver down 55 cents. We've got the 10-year yield up 2 basis points. Not good for the NASDAQ. Bitcoin up $2,000 per coin. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson as we begin a new week in the market. And, of course, on Wednesday, we will see the close of the first quarter of 2021. As of right now, earnings for this quarter, S&P 500 earnings are expected to be up 23% versus the same quarter last year, which was heavily impacted by COVID. This quarter is still impacted by COVID, this current quarter that ends on Wednesday, but not anywhere near what it was impacted by last year. We finally found out why we had such a sell-off in a lot of individual Chinese stocks last week, as a major hedge fund had heavy bets in those stocks and had to unwind and sell those positions. Not only did it have heavy exposure to a lot of the big Chinese stocks, we're talking Baidu, Tencent Holdings, etc., but it also had heavy holdings in some other stocks that got creamed on Thursday and Friday. That's what happens when, somebody makes a lot of bad bets. They got a lot of big positions, and they've got to unwind those positions. I worry about some of these really high-flying technology ETFs, the innovative innovator ETFs, etc. When they start to get redemptions and they have to start unloading the positions underneath that they own, the tech sector could get a lot worse than it currently is. We had a pretty good day. We got to go back to Friday. Remember Friday? Just barely. It's like a fog right now in the brain last Friday. Well, last Friday we had a very good day in the market. Very memorable day. In fact, the Dow hit a new all-time high back above 33,000. It's starting to go south here, though, right now. But it did get up to 33,000. The S&P 500 hit a new all-time high on Friday. And the NASDAQ had a good day. But now this news of this hedge fund unfolding, and you've got the 10-year moving up a little bit, and we're kind of getting back to the same pattern that we've seen here over the last 6 weeks, I would say, where the tech stocks just do not look very good. But we had a good solid finish to the market on Friday. And you know what else did really well on Friday? The value stocks, which had a couple of down days last week. Many were starting to question, should I get back into growth again? Growth versus value. Well, you know what? The value stocks look a heck of a lot better. I know. Who wants to buy a farm machinery stock? Farm machinery, when you can buy the latest in stainless solid state battery technology for EV vehicles, right, with autonomous software and robots. It's just not as sexy, and I talked about this in my newsletter over the weekend. This is going to come as a shock to a lot of the new folks that are in the market, that have come in the market with all of these SPACs and breakthroughs and SpaceX and flying taxis and robots and autonomous this and robotic that and artificial intelligence over here. I know. It's all really sexy. It's all really exciting. And you think that the sky is the limit to how far these stocks can go. But, you know, at the end of the day, it comes back to earnings. How much are they going to make? Are they ever going to be profitable? When will they be profitable? Once they are profitable, can they sustain 30, 20, 40% per year earnings growth? You know, that all remains to be seen. And in the interim, with a rising interest rate environment, that lowers the multiples across the board. And the further you are out on the risk scale, the further your multiple's going to come in. And we have not seen value stocks lead the market. I got to go back before, it was back 2007, 2006, 12, 13 years ago. And, you know, it's going to be hard for a millennial to buy a farm machinery stock. Very hard. But, you know, people that have been in the market for a long time and have cut their teeth on valuations and price to sales and price to earnings and price to book value and growth rates and multiples that make sense, that's where we're finding the buys right now, okay? So, you know, you can fight it all you want, and you can continue to plow money into these darlings that were darlings in February and January and maybe December and November and October, but this is a whole new market. The market has turned really upside down over the last 6 weeks. That stuff just got too expensive. There was too much speculation. Way too much speculation that had built up into the market. Well, let's look at some of the winning ETFs from last week. Biotechs continue to get taken apart. You know, that was an area of the market that I felt was being exploited to the max by traders. And the momentum players buying the names that, you know, are out there on the cutting edge of gene technology and whatnot. Let's just check in on CRISPR today. That's a terrible chart. It's been cut in half. CRISP, C-R-S-P, since mid-January. That's when the biotech started to sell off to today. So you've got about 8 weeks, 9 weeks. It's been cut in half. It's gone from 220 to 110. The biotech inverse three times. Wow, that's volatile. Put that in your test tube. Inverse biotech three times was up 23% last week. That was the inverse fund of the week. The long fund of the week was a home builder ETF, NAIL. NAIL. It was up 16.4% last week. Other areas of the market very weak right now. Junior gold miners. Oh, there's a good ETF to own right now. Junior gold miners. That did terrible. With a bear version of it, did great. And China did terrible. The China Internet ETF was down 21.4% last week, and we find out a big hedge fund unwinding Archegos, something like that. It was a $13 billion hedge fund and having to unwind a lot of positions. Look at the trading in Discovery, the Discovery Network, and Viacom on Friday. Why did they get hit so violently? Well, because this hedge fund was unwinding and had to unwind their positions at almost any cost just to get out. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. This is Best Stocks Now show on this Monday. Welcome back here to the second quarter of Best Stocks Now show. Okay, what does it mean when a hedge fund has to unwind some positions? Archegos Capital was forced to sell more than $20 billion in stocks on Friday. And I just wonder if there's more of these ticking time bombs out there. Because there was an awful lot of money going into some very speculative, not exactly really, really liquid positions out there. And there may be some more of these sitting out there. But let's just focus on this one for now and hope that there aren't any more out there like this. Archegos Capital, okay? This is a family office run by Bill Hwang. They were pushed to liquidate, forced to sell more than $20 billion of stocks on Friday after margin calls. Well, that means you bought those stocks using margin. I don't use margin here at my firm. And when those stocks start to go down, you get a call from the margin department. Hey, pal, you know what? You're too thin now on your equity ownership in these stocks. You need to pony up some more dollars, some more cash, to cover these trades that are going the wrong way. And if you cannot cover the margin call, then you got to liquidate the stock. Goldman Sachs emailed clients late Friday to inform them that it was one of the banks selling, this was at Goldman Sachs, some of the positions were held there, detailing a total of $10.5 billion in trades, though it didn't identify Archegos or Hwang. The Wall Street Journal reported $30 billion in stock trades and is adding that Deutsche Bank was also selling large blocks of stock. Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley have also been reported as offering the block trades. Now, let's check in on these bank stocks, which are under a little pressure. Well, Goldman Sachs is down 1%. No big deal there. Deutsche Bank, however, they get caught up. If there's a scandal, they seem to know how to find it. Deutsche Bank down 3.2%. I think the one that's really getting hit the most is Nomura. Which I believe is NOM, Nomura Bank. No, must be NMA. No, I'll find it here in a minute. But I think Nomura is down about 6 or 7%. Now, the stocks in question. You know, last week, I got out of almost every China position quite some time ago. You know, I bailed on Alibaba months ago when Jack Ma disappeared. That's not ever a good thing when the CEO disappears. And then I went into Pinduoduo, and I own JD.com, and I own some Tencent holdings. I dumped them, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks ago. I've just watched those stocks just continue to get ground down and continued to break down. Then all of a sudden last week, I saw these massive gap down in Baidu. I saw huge pressure in other Chinese stocks. Well, it was this hedge fund who had big positions in these stocks. See, that was before Friday. That should have been a warning that something was going on. This guy was unloading big positions, backing out of trades going the wrong way. And then finally on Friday, he had to get rid of these massive, his bigger positions, Viacom. Look, the trading in Viacom on Friday, that thing got clobbered because of one hedge fund, okay? Discovery, the Discovery Network, that was one of the hottest stocks in the market. It was running on the way up. All of a sudden, it just crashed on Friday for no reason. Well, now we know the reason. Baidu was another one. GSX Technology, which is one that was heavily shorted. This Arcajos character is a guy who's been in trouble before. He's a tiger cub who pleaded guilty to insider trading in 2012 when he worked for Tiger Asia Management. He was deemed such a risk that Goldman Sachs, as recently as 2018, refused to do business with him. Well, they let him back in the door. You know, money talks, I guess. And this was a big, big unwinding. Let me check. Okay, I just got the symbol on Nomura. That's out of Japan. That's one of their biggest. Holy cow, they're down 13.7% today. It looks to me like they're the biggest one getting hurt here today by the unwinding of a hedge fund. Now, why this is kind of unnerving the market a little bit, we've had this happen before. 2008 comes to mind when a lot of 2009 comes to mind, mostly 2008, late 2007, 2008. You had a lot of this go on, and it can really disrupt the market. Now, hopefully this is just a one-off. Here's this guy that's supposed to be such a sharp trader, gets himself into big trouble, and you see these massive unwinding of these huge positions. One other one that seems to always find trouble, Credit Suisse, it's down 12%. So Europe, the European, one European bank, one Japanese bank, and, of course, Deutsche Bank, to some extent, they're the big, they're on the losing end of these big losses by this hedge fund. So we'll keep an eye. Now, one thing that came to my mind immediately, some of these stocks that he unwound are probably pretty good buys here today. Now, I'm not the only one thinking that. I'm sure there's some big bounces going on today in Viacom. Let's just check with VIAC. No, it's down again today. Maybe he had more to unwind, okay? He wasn't unwound yet. Wow. Oof. Okay, let's look at the other one, which is Discovery, DSCA, I believe, DSCK. Yeah, it's bouncing a little bit. Let's see, Baidu. But there may be some good buys in some of these stocks, is my point. That he had to unwind. Okay. Fubo TV, another one he had a big position in. I wouldn't buy that even if it was bouncing. Fubo is another one of the streaming stocks. Fubo just got slaughtered. You know, a lot of these high flyers. Fubo was 62, and now it's 21. There's been some big, big damage in the speculative, high-flying momentum area of the market. Okay, what asset class saw the biggest inflow last week? In fact, this asset class saw the biggest inflow in almost a year. Cash. That was the biggest inflow of all the asset classes last week. And tech saw a very rare outflow. Like I say, you can look at those tech stocks. They just don't look very good to me at all. And I see people wanting to get back in, just itching to get back in. You know what? Go for a nice walk, settle down, and look for some value. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second half of Best Stocks. Now, boy, this isn't a very good start to a Monday. Can we rewind and go back and start all over again? The Dow's down 130 right now. It's at 32,937, but let's not forget it hit an all-time high on Friday. Okay, S&P down 27, NASDAQ down 121. I got to believe it's mostly about this unwinding of this hedge fund. I think it's important to go back to the inflows and the outflows last week because I'm observing the same thing as I look at individual stocks. As I look at hundreds and hundreds of individual stocks during the day, you had $45 billion that went to cash last week, the most since April of 2020, while $4 billion went to equities. That's a 10-to-1 ratio there. Money going into cash and money going into equities. Cash swamped the money going into equities. Bonds saw a $10 billion inflow. Well, that's a little bit of a flight to safety there. $600 million went out of gold. Gold looks terrible. It just looks, that's a terrible chart on gold. And, of course, the bond market, it back in last on November of last year, right around the election, right after the election, you saw a death cross, the 50-day moving below the 200-day in the bond market, and it's been nothing but down ever since. Tech stocks saw their first outflow since September 2020. Well, I think that the sell-off could get a whole lot worse in tech. Hedge funds have been selling the most since December. Inflation concerns persist. Inflation-protected bonds tips had their third largest inflows ever. So, I mean, whether Jerome Powell or Janet Yellen see inflation, the market sees inflation. In China, listen to these. KWEB, China Internet ETF, down 28% now from its high. The Invesco China Technology Fund, which is CQQQ, down 27%. The green energy, oh, man, I sold almost at or near the top on the green energy stocks that I owned. You're never going to sell right at the top. In the U.S., the Invesco Solar Portfolio, TAN, is now down 33% from its high. Kathy Wood's ARK Innovation Fund is now down 30% from its high, and the Spider Biotech ETF is now down 24% from its high, while farm machinery stocks are hitting new highs. What a difference a few months make. Okay, I said the housing sector is also hanging in there pretty well. I saw a lot of housing stocks do very well, the housing ETF. They're having house bidding wars, okay, nationally. 61% of home offers written by Redfin agents are getting a competing bid. Hey, let's get a bidding war going on. That's a good deal if you're trying to sell something. That's a very high number. That's the 10th straight month, which more than half of their offers encountered competition. We had someone show up at our house the other day. That was a couple weeks ago. He said, I want to buy your house. I said, it's not for sale. He says, I'll pay you. He listed this certain amount, which was way over the market. I said, well, come in and have a look. And he come in, he had a look. You know, I still had no intention really of selling, but who knows? You know, if you're going to offer me some kind of price that's way above what it's worth, shoot, you know, I'll consider it. He looked around. I don't know what happened to the guy, you know. But here's the deal. You know, a lot of people are leaving the suburbs. They're leaving cities. They're leaving states that are still shut down. They're leaving high-tax states. And they're heading to places like North Carolina, South Carolina, Florida on the receiving end, Texas on the receiving end, Tennessee on the receiving end. And that's where you're seeing a lot of activity. And I know for a fact in my neighborhood, there's not really much inventory. Now, what are the most competitive markets on the Redfin survey? Well, this is kind of surprising. Salt Lake City, number one. Multiple bids coming in for houses. San Diego, number two. That's always been a pretty strong housing market. They have something called weather there, but, you know, you pay through the nose for that weather. They like to, there's a tax on the weather there. And Phoenix, those were the three most competitive markets in the housing market. And I know our housing market here also has been very, very competitive. All right, let's see what else we got going on here. Okay, you know what? I just don't know about these autonomous delivery Chipotle. You'd hate to get run over in your driveway by a Chipotle delivery autonomous vehicle carrying burritos wrapped in foil. But look out, Chipotle invests in autonomous delivery. Epic Games. Well, they're making a big investment. Chipotle puts $500 million bet on Nuro's autonomous delivery vehicles. I'm going to put a picture of this in my newsletter this week. It's a little car that shows up at your home. Nobody in it. Just about a couple doors that you open up, and there's your Chipotle delivery. Nuro is the company. Nuro uses robotics in its Prius fleet of on-road driverless autonomous vehicles. So watch out when you go for your walk today. Let's see, what else do we have here? Ship owners. Well, you know what? I think that's a temporary situation, obviously. In fact, the Suez Canal is now unplugged. But shipping rates have been going higher with or without the Suez Canal. And I've been watching a lot of these shipping names. Danaos, DAC, Costamare, which is a big Greek shipping company, CMRE, Global Ship Leasing, GSL. And, of course, there is an ETF called BDRY, which is the Baltic Dry Index, Bulk Shipping Index. Yeah, I think maybe you've seen a peak there. It's coming down 6.7%. Then, of course, you've got the container ship stocks, Textainer, CAI, Triton. I guess very tight right now is the market, and that's driving prices higher. Now, last week, it looked like maybe the FANG stocks were ready to make a move. They haven't moved in a long, long time. But the one that still looks the most interesting, there's a report out today that Facebook's ad rates have recovered from the pandemic and then some. The rates that Facebook charges for its advertising took a hit in 2020. Obviously, headwinds ranging from an industry slump alongside COVID-19 pandemic to the Stop Hate for Profit campaign led to hundreds of advertisers to boycott Facebook last summer. But those rates measured in cost per thousand impressions have returned to pre-pandemic levels and are now showing continued growth back to business as it was. The cost of Facebook advertising is up 30% compared to this same time last year. And I can also tell you that in a market that Dow down 119 right now, NASDAQ down 90, Facebook is up 2.1%. Now, for me, Facebook meets all of my valuation criteria. It meets my momentum criteria. In fact, I used it as a featured stock last week. The one last thing that it lacks for me, it's been in a sideways trend since last August. Okay, it can't get through and stay above 300. It's at 289 right now. I would like to see that stock bounce through, break through that resistance level, which it should. Just based on you know, a little technical analysis here and valuation. I like the way that 50-day moving average is curving up there. But I want to see it kind of move through that resistance level. Otherwise, it looks pretty good. The chip shortage rages on. But reshoring opportunities are growing. Okay, well, I've had some pretty good. You know, I'll tell you the companies that are kind of in the middle of all of this and benefiting from this big chip shortage, especially in the auto-related chips, Applied Materials. Very good chart, behaving very, very well. KLA Tencor, these are more of the equipment makers. And the one that I own that's just done really well is ASM Lithography, which had a huge day on Friday. I mean, a monster day on Friday. So you can't write off all the tech stocks. There's still a few good ones, and ASM is still one that we continue to own. Monster day on Friday, backing off just a little bit. One of the stocks benefiting from this chip shortage. We'll be back with our feature stock of the day. You gotta go where you wanna go. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Kind of a sloppy start here to the market today after a really, really big day on Friday. We finally have the Suez Canal. I saw a satellite photo of all the ships that were backed up. It looked like the 405 freeway at rush hour, you know, in Los Angeles, or even their harbor. Their harbor's got the same problem. They have a huge backlog of ships trying to be unloaded. But the Suez Canal, a lot of traffic goes through that canal. Did drive oil prices up for a while, but that, you know what, that's a temporary situation. I don't see where there's money to be made in those temporary situations. Now, this big, massive sell-off by this hedge fund, I think that's having the big impact on the market today because it obviously, there's more selling going on today in these stocks that were under siege late last week, and now the fallout on Nomura, on a Deutsche Bank, on Credit Suisse, Morgan Stanley, Goldman Sachs. How much of a loss will they incur in all of this? Well, that's where we're at today. The tech stocks continue to look very, very poor, and this continues to be a value-driven market. Well, I'm going to use as my stock of the day, pretty seasonal stock. I bet if you went to your nearby Lowe's over the weekend, I bet it was pretty busy, you know, with people planting gardens, people putting in their flower beds, putting in fruit trees, doing fix-it projects around the house and whatnot. And that's, you know, we talk a lot about these work-from-home stocks such as DocuSign and Zoom and whatnot, but Lowe's is definitely a work-from-home stock. I personally have done quite a bit of little improvements around my home here as I'm spending. I don't go to the office anymore like I used to when I lived in San Diego. I drove to an office every day, but then COVID came along, and I have a beautiful home office in studio here. So you know what? I'm more efficient working from home. I don't lose time driving to the office and back. And, you know, they always want, like, hey, can you come out to lunch? You want to go to lunch? We're going, no, I can't. The market's open. All of this and that. But anyways, people are spending more money on their homes. You talk to people in the swimming pool business, in the painting business, in the flooring business, redoing floors, remodelers, bathrooms, all of this is booming right now, and it's helping a stock like Lowe's, which hit a new all-time high. Now, it's reflected in the ratings of BestStocksNowApp.com. Zoom is not the number one ranked stock anymore. Lowe's is ranked number 87 out of 5,638. Now, for whatever reason, I don't know the answer to this. Where I live, most people go to Lowe's over Home Depot for whatever reason. Lowe's seems to be more popular here. Just like Chick-fil-A versus McDonald's. Chick-fil-A, there's a line around the block. McDonald's, there's like two people getting soggy burgers. Lowe's does very well. We have two Lowe's in our neighborhood, I think. Maybe they'll add a third. I don't know. I know we've got, I don't know if we have more Chick-fil-A's or more Lowe's in this neighborhood. But anyways, Lowe's is done pretty well since the pandemic. How well has it done? Over the last 12 months, which is pretty much the year of the pandemic, LOW is up 129%. 129%. During that same period of time, the S&P 500 is up 54%. That's right. Well, we just passed the one-year anniversary of Bill Gunderson's big buy call that he made on the market right in the midst of the pandemic. How well has the S&P done since that time? Up over 50%. But listen to me, just on the market. Lowe's is up 129%. It gets a momentum grade of A. Now, I would wait for a little bit. Lowe's had a monster day on Friday. It did that breakout that I'm waiting for on Facebook. It actually broke out last Wednesday. And then it had a monster day on Friday, hitting a new all-time high, $135 billion company. I know. They don't make anything autonomous. They don't have robots delivering the potting mix to your home and this and that. But go look at the parking lot, okay? $188.38. It also pays a dividend, LOW. I own it in my dividend and growth portfolio. Headquartered in Mooresville, North Carolina, Lowe's also sports a dividend yield of 1.3%, and it's hitting new all-time highs, and it's going to continue to benefit from this work-from-home type of economy, and you're getting a big seasonal lift right now with the first day of spring. What was it, last week, something like that? Anyways, we'll make Lowe's, L-O-W, our featured stock of the day. All right. Well, if you'd like to get in touch with us, set up an appointment. We continue to have money flowing in. I'm putting it to work as I find good buys. I have to be very, very selective right now. But there are good buys out there, just not in the sexy, high-flying momentum areas of the market. That's the worst place you could be putting money right now. If you want us to look at your portfolio, you may still be in harm's way. I think there's still more selling to do in these high momentum stocks. You can reach us at 855-611-BEST. If you've never gotten my newsletter, I will send it out. I sent it out last Friday, and you can get 2 free weeks of it and see what we've done with our portfolios, how we've done with our portfolios, at GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com, or give us a call. Set up an appointment at 855-611-BEST. This is Bill Gunderson. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm.
All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.